Hello, good morning. You're very welcome to Countrywide. Between now and nine, fishing for disappearing words on the shores of Loch Corrib, priceless otters and kingfishers in a Wexford tributary of the Slaney, and baking the world to a better place with the ultimate scone. This was what I heard this morning at 5:20 as I walked out the front door. It was so beautiful that I ran straight back inside, grabbed the tape recorder and recorded this. I was thinking that the weather has been such a drudgery and the cause of so much anxiety in the course of the last few months. And I don't know if we are out of the woods by any means, but when a morning like this one comes along, you just take it. So let's just do that for a minute. Just take this morning for what it is. All right, down to business then. And it would seem that no sooner than the weather begins to turn than we walk into a storm of a different kind altogether. The Danish government has acknowledged the poor quality of their waters and they've decided that they won't be applying for a derogation from the EU Nitrates Directive again this year, meaning that the only country in Europe that will be seeking one is Ireland. The largest dairy co-op in the country, Tierlon, previously known as Glanbia, has been working on its response to the possible loss of the derogation. They unveiled it last week, Farming for Water, the River Slaney project. They believe that if they can clean up one river in their area of operations, they can prove to the European Commission that Ireland should keep its derogation. Now, we will stress test the viability of that idea a little bit later on in the programme. But how is this to be done? Tierlon suggests that everyone needs to farm a little bit more like Alan and Cheryl Poole from just outside Gorey in County Wexford, an intensive dairy farm, but one with a very light footprint. So on Wednesday, I paid them a visit.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Pleased to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, there's Alan there.
Oh, yeah. The yard is as neat as a pin. Cute orange-billed Pekin ducks, a handsome cockerel, happy calves playing on thick, clean beds of straw, and two very relaxed and happy farming partners. Frankly, it's all a marketing manager's dream of what a family farm should look like.
Do you want a cup of tea or coffee?
A tea, please. Thank you very much.
We chatted for ages at the kitchen table before looking at the farm. And it's very important to say right from the beginning that the Pools are not independently wealthy in a way that would allow them to sacrifice productivity for the sake of nature. Their 72 cows are their only source of income, and they have a son with profound special needs who requires full-time care. But they have found a way to make it all work without harming their corner of the natural world.
With the 72 cows, we can leave our hedgerows natural. We only prune them back every 3 years, whatever, so there's a lot of biodiversity development in that. We can keep the cows comfortably well away from the river. We're not under pressure with the 72. And when you have a lot of other things going on in your life, pressure at work is something you can live without too.
You know, there's no stock access to the river, like there's no animals drinking from the river, and it's only a simple thing, but kind of if you go around the countryside and, you know, you see animals going to the river, you go, oh, Jeannie, you know, you can see where they're creating sediment or whatever. You know, they're just subtle little things as a farmer, you'd see, but, you know, there's little things, because they're only little things that add up into a big thing and can all help.
This is the River Ban, and it's a tributary to the Slaney. When the fisheries are here doing their sampling and testing every year, we come down and have a look, and they kick sample it, and they can see invertebrates in it that are indicators of a good quality river. So, yeah, we're very proud of it.
And it's even as an amenity. Like, if you get any sunny day here in the summer, and the first thing Danny will say, our son, is, can we go down to the river? And, like, they'll be down here paddling and messing about and on bodyboards and this, that and the other. Like, and he'll start to go blue in the face. And you'll say, Danny, I think you've been in for long enough. You may come home now. You've had enough fun.
And our eldest son, he has a severe intellectual disability, but this is his happy place. He's always just loved being at the river. And we spent most of our lockdown, I think, sitting here. He was in his element.
There's no rocket science at work to make this place a high nature value farm. Slurry storage for 90 cows rather than the 72 they have. Careful management of the rainwater flowing through the yard. Generous boundaries where fields meet rivers. Hedgerows not trimmed to within an inch of their lives. And a general approach of efficiency over productivity and profit.
I'd have no interest in having any more cows. It's for us anyway, stock control and making sure that we have enough silage in. Last year, I remember whenever we cut the first cut early, thinking we'll get a good grow on it now, and then there was the drought, so we didn't get a good grow on it. But I remember looking at whenever we measured all our silage that we had, and we said, right, we have enough once it's not a really long winter. But now you just have to be prepared for a really long winter in every way.
We're lucky here, like, any time you come down here in the summer, like, and just sit down for 10 minutes by the river, you'd be guaranteed to see the kingfisher zipping up and down there. Like, and it's just,
really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And, you know, otters and, you know, it's a secondary value. You know, you have so many values to the river. You know, it drains the land, it supplies water, you know, to the town of Gorey. But, you know, also wildlife, you know, just to come here and sit and, you know, because with the tough spring and that, you're going, oh, the drudgery and the hardship. And then you come down here and some sunny day and you just sit down for 5 minutes and just go, ah, it's not so bad. And you'll soak up the sun and you'll soak up all the sounds and recharge the batteries.
I don't want to sound like I'm being a soft in the head hippie or overly romantic, but can you put a price on things like kingfishers and otter on your land?
I don't think you can, and I don't think you can. Like, for us as a family, it gives us so much pleasure and happiness to see that. And to, like, the kids were out doing a bat survey with Alan a couple of summers ago one evening, and the otter went out past their feet and back into the river. Like, you don't get that experience, you know, it's huge. I don't think, yeah, I know what you mean about sounding a bit soft or whatever, but I don't think you can really put a price on it.
Frankly, it's no wonder that Tierlawn would want to make the pools ambassadors for the kind of farming it believes will save the derogation. Is it too little too late, though? Alan and Cheryl aren't sure, but they do find all of the sudden attention a bit weird.
It's a bit weird. we're happy doing what we're doing, and I don't think we're experts or anything. We're all learning, but the thing is that we're very keen to get to be involved, to have the access to the people who have the knowledge of the science and the advisors that came out, and the science, the regulations and everything that are current. You can only do as well as you know how. Like, we've been doing as well as we can, and, you know, maybe you learn something then and then you can strive to do a bit better.
You know, in hindsight, maybe, you know, we could have approached the whole dairy expansion in a different way. You know, got a more continuous journey to get us to where we are today, and, you know, just plan more into the future.
But we went hell for leather, and we're looking at the consequences of it now.
Yeah, I know there's more cows and whatever, but if you do things right, you know, there should be a negligible impact on the environment. You know, do the right things and have everything operating to the correct standards.
It is never too late to start doing the right thing. But I wonder, might it be, given how close we are now to what looks like the loss of the derogation?
We might be. Sure, how can we know? Do you know, we can't turn back the clock. But, like, at the same time,
yeah, everyone has to have the appetite for it. And I suppose we'd all spent so long with quotas, and people were looking at maximising profitability, and there might not have been the appetite to start thinking about stopping it expanding at, back then. I don't know what the answer is, and I don't think you can ever know. You can never look back and say, what if it doesn't really pay any dividends. I think the important thing is that we just need to act quickly now, and everyone needs to do as much as they can now. Like, if we're going to save the derogation, if we're going to save the water quality in the country, it's not just about the derogation for me. It's about, you know, quality of life. It's about people kayaking down in the Slaney, and do you know what I mean?
Apologies for the state of my voice. It was a little bit hoarse back on Wednesday.